right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Appreciate you guys listening here in the Birmingham metro area. Listen online, jocksfm.com. You guys listening on the app, including in Charlotte, North Carolina. Search WJOX. You can grab the app there. Also, tell your home smart speaker to enable the Jock skill or just listen to Jocks. And you can do it that way right here, 8 a.m. Thursday, September 22nd.
Crocker Moving Services is a local company owned by an Iraq War veteran, Eric Crocker. Crocker believes in hiring movers you can trust to complete full background checks and drug tests on every single employee. These are good guys. And you can trust them in your home. So if you're living in Charlotte, you're listening to the show, and you're a good friend of Cole's and mine, you want to move to Birmingham because that's your favorite city in the world, you can call our friends at Crocker Moving Services. Whether you need your whole home packed up and move, your company headquarters moved across country, or you just want them to come rearrange your living room, these guys got you covered. They also do deliveries for furniture that you purchase need to get to your house. Call or visit them online today for a free quote. The website's CrockerMovingServices.com. That's CrockerMovingServices.com. Support your veterans by choosing Crocker Moving Services for your next move.
All right, I want to throw out just some numbers on some different teams around college football, some that might be a statistical anomaly and some that might tell the true story. Because I think sometimes it's kind of the cool thing about numbers and stats is that sometimes it tells you the exact story and exactly what's happening and exactly what it is. And other times it just honestly is that. It's an anomaly. It has nothing to do with exactly what's happening, what's going on. One that you brought up a little bit earlier that I loved, I didn't have this one. Minnesota, you said 68% of the times they run the football?
Correct.
That's the most in college football?
Most in the Power Five.
Is that between Power Five teams, is that close? Is that kind of a runaway for them?
No, 64% Rutgers, 61% Ole Miss. Those are the top three. So, yeah, I mean, 4 percentage points north of the second highest run rate.
By the way, have you had a chance to dive into that Ole Miss run game yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy, is it cooking, dude! Did you see the clip I posted last night?
The counter, yes. No, the counter play that you kind of described yesterday, I've never quite seen it run just like that. They got some stuff going in the run game.
It is sick. I mean, it is.
Their backs are sweet filthy. Too.
Yes, I mean, they're backs. Really
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
their three of them. Really by the way,
yeah,
they can get it.
It's a lot of fun to watch, and they. My understanding is they had it last year and just they couldn't get the backs to run it the way, especially that Evans runs it, but they can both do it. And then I'm also told that Devin Singletary did that at FAU a couple of times. I don't remember seeing it that way, but I'm told that they had it and it was somewhat similar. But it is, I mean, you're talking split zone with running back counter tracks back into outside zone that the offensive line's blocking. It's just, it's filthy, man. It can hit a lot of different places. And the one that I posted, they caught him in a corner crash, coming right at him with the counter move, and he just puts that foot in the ground and goes back the opposite direction. It's unbelievable. How about this, though, for Minnesota? I'll follow you up. 78% they've converted on third down.
It's absurd.
78. They're 31 of 40 on third down.
Yeah, because what's their average? You probably don't have this number. But I bet you their average line to gain on like, third down is like third and three.
If not less.
Seriously. Yeah. Like, it probably is like third or three or less. Because even, dude, even if you average four yards carry is considered a positive run. At least that's what it was for us. I'm sure that's probably what it is for everybody else. First down, second and six, third and two. Perfect. You You'll get two positive runs all day long. Your likelihood of converting on third and two is extremely high. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all about it, dude. Minnesota's offense, I love it. I mean, I really do.
So like, Minnesota 3-0. They travel to Michigan State. This is a 2:30 Big Ten Network kick. Minnesota 3-point favorite, and it's like you talked about their offense and staying with kind of run scheme. It's a pretty apparent philosophy that it is. And listen, with Daniel Faalele, we should have known that this is just the way it was going to be. They don't have another 400 pounder, but I mean, they are big, wide, thick. I mean, it is what you would expect a Minnesota offensive line to be. And it's just, they cover you up. They don't have a lot of guys that just completely knock you off the ball, but they're going to get in your way and you're not going to be able to see what's happening. And they run that stretch play, that outside zone so flat. I mean, it is very unique because I don't know if anybody else runs it as flat as they do. I mean, they literally turn and run to the sideline. And the back can turn north and south whenever he wants. He can carry it all the way out and run out of bounds, or he can take it and get north and south immediately. And Ibrahim, obviously, is a guy that can get that done. 67 carries, 464 yards, 7 touchdowns already this year. But they took a massive hit last week, G-Mac. Chris Autumn Bell, wide receiver, leg injury. He's going to be out for the year. He had 11 catches for 214 yards. He was the one with the most juice. Now, Dylan Wright, 6'3", 210. He's more of a jump ball guy. He's got up 4 catches and a touchdown this year. They're solid at tight end. But, man, that was the guy that was going to sort of help you run past people and maybe could do some things in the open field. So that offense did take a big hit at receiver, but that's obviously not what they're going to be relying on to be able to move the football.
Yeah, I mean, it's it definitely hurts because you had to tilt coverage in the direction of Autumn Bell. Like, he is legit. He is really a good player. And I feel bad for him. It's his sixth year, too. So they're going to actually seek a seventh year of eligibility, Minnesota is, so that he can potentially come back next year, which is crazy. But in the NIL world, if it's not likely that you're going to make a roster on Sundays, man, you can make good money playing college football. You might as well extend your career as long as humanly possible. So hate that for that young man, and hate that for that offense too. So it's still going to run through Mo Ibrahim. That's where their offense starts, and that's where it's going to be centered around. He's going to be the feature. But not having that guy to kind of force a safety to hang back over the top because you don't want to leave him isolated in single coverage is fairly significant. So you're going against a team this week too. Look, Michigan State, not good against the pass.
We know that.
I mean, that's been documented, okay? If you look at Michigan State, they allowed 400 yards passing last week against Washington. That's nearly doubled their passing production from the previous two games. So Tanner Morgan's averaging about 200 yards a game. Last year, he averaged about 160. So Morgan's slightly better this year. But if you're going to get it against Michigan State, it better be through the air, because if Mel Tucker can have his way, he's going to stop the run. That's what he does really, really well. That's what Michigan State's always been known for. So it'd be real interesting to see if they can actually throw their way out of a jam against Sparty.
By the way, Washington, number two passing offense in college football right now. You want to take a guess who's number one rolls into Oxford this weekend? So we're going to find out about the Ole Miss defense. I mean, this isn't the ultimate test, but this will be a good litmus test for, has that defense really come a long way? And from what I can see, and again, level competition, we don't know. We're gonna actually talk about some teams a little bit later in the show. Do we believe in them just yet? Because we don't know. There's a lot that we don't know about a lot of these teams, but we'll make a decision. Ole Miss defense, it looks like the pass rush is good. I'm not going to go with overboard, legit, the best, whatever, but it looks like it's better. And then they look more sound in certain areas. So this will be a nice little test to say, all right, this is a team that can throw the ball around, and we'll see how you can handle that. Washington, number two. You guys have any idea who's the number three passing offense in college football right now?
Mississippi State.
That is not it.
Okay.
They are not top 10 right now. No.
I'm going to say,
ouch.
Bowling Green is one, you said?
Tulsa, that'd be Tulsa. Is one. Washington
Tulsa,
is two.
Tulsa's one.
413 a game for Tulsa, 388 a game for Washington.
Which is hilarious because that's such a 180 from where Tulsa was. Yeah. Tulsa was a round-a-pound team. Golly, that's going to drive me crazy.
At 377 yards per game, no. The number three passing offense in college football right now, the Georgia Bulldogs.
No.
Wow.
Nuh-uh.
377 per game, wow. 7 touchdown passes, no interceptions, 10.3 yards per attempt for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Wow.
So that's great, and that's a part of that offense that's going to be dangerous because they spread it around. I don't think they have to be high risk. Now you have a quarterback that showed with his mobility. He can also do some different things. Here's the weird part of it, though. Georgia has one sack this year, Greg. One. That's tied for last in college football. Is that a real concern moving forward?
Yes. But also not one that I'm going to be crazy upset about, because it's not like they're giving up chunk yardage. I mean, dude, they haven't given up anything. Like, they are.
They're 16th in passing yards per game allowed. They've only allowed one touchdown all year that was a passing touchdown. So, and that was with, 53 seconds left in the game?
Yeah, I was about to say,
Luke
right.
Doty. Luke Doty should have that on his Twitter bio, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, so
there's
like,
one person with a touchdown against Georgia. Guess who?
I'd love to be able to harass the quarterback. But for instance, like last week, I'm calling the LSU Mississippi State game. I mean, Ojulari probably had 7 quarterback hits in the game and 1 sack.
Right.
You know, so sometimes sacks don't tell the ultimate tale. You could still affect the quarterback even if you don't get home. But if they were getting chopped up and they were giving up chunk yardage, I'd be a little more concerned. But that hasn't been the case up to this point.
No, absolutely. So Tennessee fifth, by the way, in passing offense this season thus far. So but a weird little anomaly there for Georgia. And it's even more weird when you talk about Arkansas. And I want to try to make any sort of sense of this whatsoever, G-Mac. Arkansas, I don't know if you guys are aware, they lead the nation in sacks. 17.
Yeah,
17 sacks on the season.
Okay.
And we know Drew Sanders has been an animal. I mean, the guy looks like a legit first-round draft pick. He's all over the place, can do everything. Arkansas is 125th in passing yards allowed. 1,058 yards allowed this season.
God damn.
They are 115th in yards per attempt allowed, 8.5.
They're most allowed. If you go by yards per game, they're most allowed.
131st, you're right. Yeah, 131st in college football at 352.7 yards passing per game allowed, yet they lead the nation in sacks. Has anyone attempted a rush against Arkansas this year? That's the first thing I need to know. Like one. Just give me a draw. A draw. Like Jimbo's got to open up with Max Johnson quarterback draw. Or just a sneak. Hell, go under center and run a sneak. Something. How is this working? What is this? You lead the nation in sacks, but you're the worst passing defense in college football. Does this continue this way? Is the only way they slow people down through the air being able to get to the quarterback? How much of an adjustment does Barry have to make moving forward? And how much of an adjustment does he have to make this weekend for this offense?
I think they have some issues in the secondary. I'm not sure that that's any surprise or secret. I think by this point, it's well documented that they have really been hurt in the back end with injuries, and the communication has suffered as a result. They've lost Ladarius Bishop. They've lost Miles Slusher. They've lost Jalen Catalan. That's three guys in the back end that you were expected to rely on. I mean, maybe your best corner, your nickel defender, and maybe your best safety. So, I mean, that's a tall order, man. And when you lose that many guys, now there's optimism around whether or not Slusher will be back this week. I think he might be, but there's no really indicator at this point. There's optimism around Ladarius Bishop returning at some point, hopefully this week. So those guys might be back, and it could be all is good. But you lost three major defenders. I also think they're playing with no confidence whatsoever. They're not passing things off. They're not communicating. And I think if you were to ask Barry Odom, the defensive coordinator, and you ask him, say, hey, man, like, can you simplify it for the guys? Can you water it down? I think he'd tell you we have. If you look at their defense, it's not like they're playing a bunch of crazy structure. It's not like they're doing a bunch of things that are, like, difficult to communicate. Like, they're playing man. They're playing zone. Like, it's simple coverage. And they're still having busts. And they're still letting guys get behind the defense. So, it's basic fundamentals, man. And I'm not sure that that's something I would be... If I'm Barry Odom, I'm probably on the verge of pulling what little hair I had left out of my head and, you know, losing my mind. Because some of the stuff that they've done is... It's totally on the players and just...
Sure.
It makes absolutely no sense.
You got to wonder, do you go back to a couple of years ago when the Rush 3 drop 8 almost became their base defense and try to find a way to live that way a little bit more, at least to just avoid some of the explosive plays through the air that they've been giving up. And getting guys to the ground obviously going to be a big part of it as well versus some of the quick game that Arkansas has seen. But here's the part that I want to know on the sliding scale of this discussion where you lean. Because I mentioned 125th in passing yards allowed. Texas A&M is 95th in passing yards. They have 624 on the season. So 40th in yards per attempt for Texas A&M at 8.3. We mentioned 115th allowed for Arkansas at 8.5. That's not good. 131st in yards per game allowed for Arkansas, but Texas A&M is 99th in passing yards per game. 208 passing yards per game. So if you're looking, like, if this is looking at the triple beam, like if this is your scale, like which way do you lean with somewhat of an advantage here? Is it Jimbo's passing game or is it the Arkansas secondary? Because neither seem to be having a very good year.
I think this is definitely a recipe for a get right. You know, I mean, if I'm going to be completely honest, like, I would love to be going against a secondary that's struggling. If our offense really hadn't taken flight just yet, I'd love to be in this situation if I'm A&M. This seems like a recipe for success. And it's not like they're letting guys run open. Dude, they're not tackling. Like, that's the other thing. I mean, shoot, they allowed against Central Missouri State, they allowed 200-plus yards after catch. I mean, I can live with that. You want to get the offense going? Perfect. Give me some opportunities for run after catch. And I think that my dudes at A&M, there's a we, another we there. My dudes, Homer. Our guys, our receivers, are probably more capable after the catch than what Missouri State would be. No disrespect to Missouri State. Great team. Well coached. Good offense. Number five team in the FCS. Really, really good football team. Might win the national championship at that level. Very well might. Could. Seriously. But I would take A&M six ways and twice on Saturday. So I think that you're in a rock solid spot if you're A&M to try to get back, because if there's one thing we've learned, man, it's not just in pure coverage, it's in tackling and lack thereof in some cases as well.
The other thing you should learn by listening to this show is that if you need a playground in your backyard, Backyard Adventures where you need to go. Right there, Cahaba Valley Road, you go check them out. They've got everything set up so your kids can jump, climb, swing, slide, get on the rock wall, get on the ramps, decide which options that they want on their playground, and then Jeff and the guys can customize it for you. This is fantastic work that they're going to do for you. Obviously, fantastic materials, and they're going to have a fantastic warranty to be able to back up anything that they build for you in their backyard. And just that part's the best. They come build it for you. You don't need a hammer. You don't need a wrench. You don't need a drill. Nothing. They're going to handle all of that for you. They'll prep the backyard. They'll even print out a 3D version of it for you to see beforehand so you can get an idea of what it's going to look like in your backyard. All different options, all different sizes, and different levels of quality, obviously, that they're going to have there. And you can even look at potentially some trade-in value for what you already have, or trade in to get one that's used and save a little bit of money. All those options available at Backyard Adventures. Visit BackyardAlabama.com. Call 408, the number 4-FUN. But not just playgrounds, G-Mac, that Jeff and the guys can help you out with.
Yeah, and you might not be able to accommodate a playground. I can't. A backyard's too small. There's too much of a slope. So I talked to Jeff and the guy. Say, hey, man, I just want the kids to play outside. What would you recommend? He said, why don't you try one of these basketball goals, man? We installed it. It's been a huge hit for us and the family and the people that have come over and our friends. And we've had people out shooting from sun up to sundown when we're down there. And we've had an absolute blast using it. We so appreciate it. Their professionalism, too, man. They came in. They installed it. Took them two trips, about 3 hours combined, came in, dug the hole, poured the cement, let it settle, come back a week later, installed it. It's been a huge hit ever since. We've been spending a lot of time outside together, and that's the ultimate goal with Backyard Adventures. So talk to Jeff and the guys. They are the experts. Let them make a recommendation for you. I think you'll be very, very satisfied with what they suggest. Go see them on Cahaba Valley Road or go online at BackyardAlabama.com.
All right, I have one more for you guys before we go to break of statistical anomalies. I do not believe that this one is an anomaly. I believe that this tells the full story, and I won't just give you one. That is your Colorado State Rams, Greg McElroy.
That's your team.
The only team in college football without a rushing touchdown. There's one of them. One. The only one. They've allowed 23 sacks this year.
Allowed.
That's most in college football, and 8 more than the next team, Akron. One of 5 teams that has not kicked a field goal this season. And they have 7 third down conversions on the year. Allow me to go back to Minnesota a few moments ago. 31 of 40 on the year on third down. Colorado State has converted 7 third downs on the season. And is tied for last in college football. So if you were looking for a statistic anomaly on the other end of things, I believe that Colorado State would be that team. And I don't believe that there's anything that is being masked by those statistics. I think they're just that bad. All right, when we come back.
They're the worst team I've seen this year. Them in Hawaii.
Stats back it up, too.
I feel like...
Don't need the Rubik's Cube. Go down.
We do not need that one. Rubik's Cube will come your way next week, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, don't here we go.
Yep. Next week, we get it going. The scientists and the rocket scientists are working on it. They're getting that thing rolling. All right, when we come back, I'm going to ask you this one question on certain teams. Do you believe? That's next on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 8:25 a.m. It is Thursday, September 22nd, right here on Jocks 94.5.
Let me tell you about our friends at Wayne's Pest Control, doing an amazing job at my house. I know they'll do an amazing job at yours as well. They have created my happy place in my front and backyard. We're sitting out there this morning, actually about 6:15 in the morning. Kids just wanted to be out front. Why? Because the grass is about as lush as it's ever been. I don't understand why it's so dang lush. Well, I actually do. It's because I started treating with the Wayne's Envirolawn solution last fall. It's the first time I've ever had pre-emergent put down in the fall. And now, all the way through this summer and this spring, my grass has never looked so good. And right now, if you go and call Wayne's at 866-WAYNES-1, they're going to come out and give you the Envirolawn solution. Use offer code JOCKS. They're going to give it to you for the first month free. I'm telling you, properly treating your lawn now is the fall. That's going to make sure that you have a beautiful lawn next spring and summer. And I'll tell you from my experience, it could not be more true. It is amazing what their emergents do. They do an amazing job putting that thing together, and they take great care of us, that's for sure. Of course, they got the Smart Pest Solution, which is still amazing. They have the Mosquito Plus, which you won't want to use right now, but you can get that down the road. They will take great care of you with our friends at Wayne's. They make my house my happy place, and I know they'll do the same for you. 866-WAYNES-1, offer code JOCKS, or go online at callwaynes.com.
All right, so a couple of teams in college football that we feel like we don't know about, and not just us here on the show. I think a lot of people, when you look at where certain teams are, where they're ranked, what they've done, what their record is, but we still don't feel like we really know. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State going to be excluded from this conversation. I'm going to go to Michigan first and start with the Wolverines at 3-0, a team that has scored 50 points in their first three games to open a season in the first time in the history of the program. It's never happened before until this year. Cade McNamara going to miss some time, but obviously they had a quarterback battle, so they're going to be okay there. I will ask you this question on Michigan as we move forward. The Michigan Wolverines, Greg McElroy, based on what you've seen
you
so far.
Share guy.
Yes, that's my girl.
Also, a song from the 90s there. Was that like that was probably part of your college?
Full
retro. That was probably part of your college experience. When you go out to the frat parties, is that one of the requests you made to the DJ?
What, hey, you guys got those? But my iPod Shuffle did have Cher on it.
You got Believe?
Yeah.
That's a sneaky banger, though.
It's really like, not, you, but...
No, it is. It's a good... It's a sneaky banger.
It's not, but...
All right, so Colorado State that we just designated, and for good reason, the worst team in college football. Hawaii might come in as the second worst, and UConn wouldn't be too far behind on that list. 51-7, 56-10, 59-0. Based on what you've seen and what you feel like you know, do you believe in Michigan?
I don't yet. I think we're going to get a fairly good indicator this week. I'm not sold yet on them being able to just rip teams to shreds on the ground. I think J.J. McCarthy is the best option at quarterback. No disrespect to Cade McNamara. I think the upside of J.J. McCarthy will give them a better opportunity to knock off some of the teams that will require some firepower at quarterback. So I'm okay with the decision that they ultimately got forced into because Cade McNamara got hurt last week. Feel bad for that young man, but this felt like it was a little bit of an inevitability anyways. I'm not super sold on Maryland. I think Maryland's okay. I think Talia has done a really good job this year being smart with the football, not taking any unnecessary risks. I think they have really good weapons. Hemby at running back has been excellent up to this point, but Jarrett and Jayshon Jones and Corey Dyches has been really, really good three-headed monster in the passing attack. So I think they have really good weapons. So I think this will be the first opportunity for a team to really test Michigan's defense. That's where I have questions. And then I also, too, Cole, I mean, you watch their offensive line. This is the best offensive line in college football in the regular season last year. How would you assess where they're at this year? Because there's reason to believe through three games they're actually maybe even a little bit better than they were a year ago.
Yeah, I can't tell if they're better yet, but they're good. There definitely hasn't been any drop-offs. Sharon Moore doing a good job again, but it's hard for me to sit here and say...
Sharon Moore? Who's that?
That's the offensive line coach for.
Oh God! Okay,
Michigan.
Good. Glad we got him. Glad we got him in there. Sure. Unless he's playing, he must be playing
guy,
left guard.
Not yeah. a '90s guy, but yes, he did make an appearance on the show today. I think they're solid. I think they're good. I like the way they play. Love their effort. They're not busting assignments, but you just mentioned it. I mean, the teams that they've played against, I can't gather a ton, but with the way that they're operating, it does look like it's really good. I want to know, is the balance going to be true? Is J.J. McCarthy going to be the guy that can truly give them the balance that I thought they were looking for last year? They never really found it, in my opinion. I think they got it at times, mainly against Michigan State, but everybody found balance against Michigan State. So, J.J. McCarthy is 30 of 34 on the year. That's stupid. To think about a kid completing 88% of his passes through three games, and I know he hasn't started and played all of those games, but I mean, he didn't have the ball hit the ground more than once in the first two games that he played in. So I do think that they may be a little bit more balanced. The thing that I'm anxious to see, G-Mac, and I think you pointed it out, we'll find out a little bit more this weekend, is the defense. Is the defense for real? And do we believe in the defense? I think I put Michigan, some of these teams we're going to mention are going to be on a little bit of a different level. Michigan is, do you believe that they're going to be a team that's going to be in the playoff? I'm not a believer on Michigan being that team just yet. So I'm going to say no for now on Michigan, but obviously all of these teams are going to still be in a little bit of a wait-and-see mode. So I'll move on.
But will this game actually teach you something?
I think you
respect Maryland enough.
It'll help my opinion of their defense, yes.
I agree with that.
I don't know. Offensively, maybe not too much, no. So we will move on, and I'll ask you this question on Clemson. Sure why the life after love part's there, but do you believe?
No, you need to know.
Just asking that.
Need the whole
will hook. There be life after love for Clemson or life with love for Clemson, one or the other, or all of the above? Listen, DJ hasn't been as bad as last year. I'm not going to sit here and say he's been great. Everyone tried to hammer that the offensive
progress
line was going to be this, you know, this big bully of a group all of a sudden, which they haven't been in a decade plus. That's not really real outside of left tackle. Will Shipley's running the ball nice. They've got some decent skill. We know what that D-line's going to be. They're ripping and roaring. But it's hard to really get a feel at 3-0 of, you know, is this 2018 Clemson? Are they back to being what we thought they were once going to be? We'll learn a lot about the defense this week. We know that at Wake Forest. But just curious, right now, do you believe in Clemson at this very moment?
Yeah, actually, I do. I don't believe in DJ. I don't think he's the answer. I think it's a matter of time. And I don't know when they're going to make that move, but I think it'd be in their best interest to do so sooner than later. This feels a little bit like the Haynes King situation. It's like, okay, well, I know the coach likes him, and I know you want to give him a chance, and I understand all that, but it's fairly clear that the guy that's backing him up, there's a different... I'm not saying the A&M's offense was elite last week. No. Farthest from the truth, but at least they gave us a little something, right? Just a little something last week, and being able to put together a bunch of first downs and being able to extend drives and stuff like that, which they weren't able to do, which resulted in a 42-18 time of possession differential between them and App State. Like last week, they had a bunch of first downs, and that I think is fairly significant for who they need to be right now, playing into their defense's strengths. So I'm not sold right now on DJ Uiagalelei. I think he's lost his mojo, and a little bit like Spencer Rattler, in a sense that, you can have talent all you want, but if you are not confident playing quarterback, you have no chance. And Rattler, I think, has lost some of that mojo as well.
Ooh, okay. We can get into that one in a little while. I don't feel like the belief meter on South Carolina is going back and forth with a lot of people. I feel like we know where that is, that stands. But that is an interesting conversation for later. I'm going to say no, I don't believe in Clemson because I don't think the offensive line's changed. I'm with you on the quarterback. And for all of those folks that are just kind of trying to kick down the door on Cade Klubnik, 46% on the year, by the way, just so you know.
Doesn't matter. Who cares?
He's under 50% on the year. All right, he's 7 of 15.
Shred it.
But you know, he's the chosen one, I guess. Now next for Clemson, so we will decide. I'm going to go with no, but I think we learn a ton about Clemson this weekend. So we will move on, and I will ask you.
But this is, they match up good against Wake Forest. Like they match up.
I'm
really
interested to see that
game.
Defensive line against that slow developing walk the dog zone read offense.
Well, they eat
they're
going to
have time.
Eat it alive. That's what they do.
Yeah, they're going to have time to be able to get back there and be problematic. So can Wake adjust to more of a quick passing game to be able to sort of offset some of what Clemson can do up front? But I want to see Clemson move the ball consistently. That's where my real concerns are. That's what I don't believe in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Wake is going to have a really hard time manufacturing a lot on the ground because Sam Hartman's not a big guy, and that pocket collapses around him. He's not going to be able to see, which is going to impact his ability to make decisions because so much of that offense is reliant on being able to identify safeties and guys that are creeping around the line of scrimmage. They got to win their one-on-ones outside, and they might be able to do that, but I do not like the matchup of this offense against that defensive line. Any great defensive line, Wake Forest has not been great against. They got smoked last year by Pitt. They got smoked last year by Clemson. I just do not like the matchup. Their style of offense and their offensive philosophy against guys that are way more talented along the line of scrimmage.
All right, I have two more that I want to blast through quickly. So with Oklahoma, I will ask you... You buying the Oklahoma Sooners right now? Do you believe in Oklahoma at 3-0 with convincing wins against UTEP, Kent State, and on the road against Nebraska?
Yeah, I do actually believe in them. I thought their offensive plan, I mean, when they get in a rhythm, it's a wrap, dude. Yep. Like, you know, I mean, that is a handful. And they're crazy, crazy talented or anything, but man, that offense, for whatever reason, like when it gets going, you just ain't stopping it. It's you're just going to get rolled. And I think Nebraska is very average, obviously way below average, to be completely honest. And then the other two teams they played are, you know, half past dead. But I also think I believe in Dylan Gabriel.
Throwing darts.
I mean, he's playing really well. And I think the defense is pretty decent. I don't know if they're great yet. I'm still trying to decide and get a good feel for that. I think this week will be a good indicator because I think this Kansas State team, while not super explosive, they do have an identity. We might have a better feel for their defense this week.
Yeah, they're going to test you in a little bit of a different way. I am a believer in Oklahoma right now. I don't think the defense is that different, but we know they can get away with being that and not having an elite, physical, overly talented defense. Last one for today. The University of Southern California. I ask you this question. Do you believe in life after love? Do you believe in USC?
I do not.
Why?
I don't trust their defense. There's not really anyone that has taken it right to them this year. There's not really anyone that said, hey, man, we're going to mow you down and we're going to get flat back and just run it right down your throat. There's no one that can shorten the game.
They're going to get that this week, by the way.
I'm about to say, this is the week. Like, if they can go on the road and get it done in a convincing manner this week, I will be a believer. Like, chart me in. But I can promise you, this week is going to be a different type of party for SC. It's not going to be high-flying. Like, Fresno's going to play into their strengths. Like, obviously, Jake Haener getting hurt last week. You know, that game was over before it really got started. If Jake Haener plays for four quarters, you know, it's still probably a beatdown. But Fresno, I mean, they're not going to just pound you, and they're not going to be able to defend you. They're going to have to keep it close in a shootout. Perfect. SC's perfectly fine doing that. But this is a team this week in Oregon State that's going to pound you along the line of scrimmage, test your depth, test your toughness, and they're going to keep you honest with the way they run the football downhill. And that's not something I've seen SC been up to the task for just yet.
It's been a minute, and I don't think they're ready for that just yet. I mean, Stanford went 45 for 221 on the ground, so I think it's proven that it's out there. It can happen. But it's so far ahead of schedule as far as the rhythm, the continuity, the feel on offense. Travis Dye has been great. Caleb Williams has been great. The offensive line's been great. So I do believe in USC. And I guess my scale of believing in them is that they're way ahead of schedule and could be a much more dangerous football team than we believe this year.
So you do believe?
I do believe. Yes. Wow. I am a believer.
Wow.
Quickly, Tommy, wants to ask us if we believe on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome into the show, Tommy.
Hey, guys. How y'all guys doing this morning?
Great, man. Thanks for the call.
Hey, I want to ask you a question about Auburn.
We talk too much Auburn on this show, Tommy. I don't know. You got to be careful. We're going to have another caller call in a second, say we got to talk about Bama quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't know. Be careful.
Okay. All right. Look,
no, we're messing
with you. Do you think Auburn offensive and defensive coordinator putting their players in the best chance to succeed? Do you think the scheming?
Defensively, I'll say yes. I didn't see a lot of scheme issues defensively. I saw guys not being able to get off blocks, guys getting blocked, guys being displaced from their gaps, guys removing themselves from their gaps, and guys not getting players to the ground. I don't think that's a scheme problem. I mean, you didn't see a lot of just busted coverages, you know, balls thrown 30 yards down the field and nobody's near them. That wasn't the issue. So, I mean, yes, maybe you want to look at some different adjustments that possibly could help more, but that side of the ball, I didn't look at it as scheme as much. Now, I've stated, Tommy, a couple of times that there are some pieces of the offense where the rhyme and reason don't seem like they fit, but that's for me. So, you know, I think when you have a two-quarterback system, you go to the other quarterback to do other things, not the same things that the first quarterback is doing. And then we just spent 10 minutes talking about Tank and how it needs to be a heavy load of him and a heavy dose of him. And as Damian pointed out earlier in the week, we've kind of never gotten that really. And I don't know what the explanation is for that. But when I saw one go for 9 and one go for 5 and then one go for 7 – I was sitting in my hotel room Saturday afternoon thinking, all right, I might up the ante from 35 to 45 carries in this game. Like, can we get close to 50? Because I think he can handle it, and I think it looks like it's going to go. And then you kind of get away from it. So offensively, probably not, you know, based on some of the play calling and some of the personnel usage.
There has to be willingness, though, too. I mean, maybe there's pushback from Tank on how many carries he wants.
Yeah, like, we don't know.
There's got to be something there because it never feels like he gets the ball as much as he should. And if I'm a coach like Brian Harsin and these guys, you know, Keesaw didn't, you know, they didn't take dumb pills and say, oh, well, we got to take care of our, just because of the back half of the season. Like, we got to make sure that we don't, you know, run our star player into the ground. Like, no, it's a big game. You know, it's a big game that you got to take care of, at least keep it interesting. So, I don't know. If they don't make a strong commitment to it this weekend, assuming it's needed, then I will start to be a little bit more concerned.
Absolutely. All right. So, we'll head to break, come back on the other side. What games are we marinating on? We will we'll fill you in on that before we go to break. Patrick Webb tweets in, at Mac and Cube. You can always tweet in and be a part of the show. Brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC. He tweets, I refuse to believe the University of Fort Lauderdale has a rushing touchdown. You would be right.
Yeah,
Greg missed our University of Fort Lauderdale segment. We can update on him during the break. When we come back, games we're marinating on for the weekend. We'll discuss those right after this on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. 8:49 a.m. Thursday, September 22nd, right here on Jocks 94.5.
For more than 60 years, B-Dry has been helping Central Alabama homeowners with their foundation and waterproofing. B-Dry is the largest waterproofing companies in the country with a waterproofing solution that stops all 5 ways the water can enter your foundation. What people don't know is that B-Dry does a just as good a job with your foundation repair as they do with your waterproofing. You think B-Dry, you're thinking waterproofing. No, you got to ask them about their foundation repair. Best part is they're going to offer a full life of the structure warranty. So if you see evidence of water or if you see cracks or any issues with your foundation, they will come out. As long as the home is still standing, they will take care of it for you. The best part is I sat down with these guys a couple weeks ago. Great, great people, by the way, I might add. Wonderful, wonderful people. They pride themselves on their professionalism. They're my friends, so I tell you, I trust them. If they come to my house, I'm going to trust them without question. But every member of their team is highly trained, licensed, and insured. But what I love most is every member of their team is working on a salary. They're not there working on commissions. So when they make a recommendation to you, they're not trying to sell you on something because they're going to get a cut or a piece of the pie. No, they're going to just offer it to you and say, hey, this is what you need to make sure that the job is done right. They're going to give it to you at the best possible price. That's why you need to give them a call, 942-1976. You got 12-month interest free as well. Or you can go online at BeDryAlabama.com. Be Dry. They're going to take great care of you. I know they will. That's for sure. Foundation repair or waterproofing, they will take great care of you. 942-1976 or BeDryAlabama.com.
All right, a couple games we're marinating on for the weekend. Take a look at some lines. Take a look at some spreads. Get an idea of what we like, what we don't like. And as you know, each and every week, this segment brought to you by our friends at Dale's, the nation's number one marinade, proudly making and distributing that family recipe for over 75 years. You can use it on beef, pork, chicken, fish, vegetables. It's the only marinade you need in your arsenal. Perfect addition to your favorite game day recipes, burgers, ribs, wings, and more. That new steak sauce also perfect for dipping and dunking. Think chicken tenders, fries, dips, anything else that you can imagine. You can find Dale's in 44 states and over 12,000 grocery stores nationwide. First one I want to throw out to you that I'm marinating on, and I don't even know why, but like I'm just going to throw this in the Ziploc bag with the marinade because I have no idea what's coming out. You tell me, G-Mac, Hawaii at New Mexico State. New Mexico State's -5, and the total is 54. What do we even think about the atrocity that this game potentially is going to end up being?
It's literally two of the five worst teams in America. You probably love this game.
Does that mean that you immediately go over or immediately go under? Because the defense is going to be that bad or the offenses are going to be that miserable? Like, I think under, that you're just not going to be able to make anything go.
I think it's going to be a horrendous game. So I literally will say a prayer for you in Sunday's church service for anyone that watched this game. I mean, I would take the points. Like, I mean, how can you lay points with teams that are terrible?
It's fair.
If there's any way we're going to play it, you have to get your thoughts on it.
We mentioned this one a little bit earlier. I'm marinating on USC at Oregon. An 8:30 Central kick, obviously. Game going to be in Corvallis. Opened at -6, now -6.5 for USC. I think Oregon State controls the game. I think they shorten the game. I don't know if they can be explosive enough to match a couple of scores with USC. I do think USC gets the win, but I think Oregon State keeps this game close. I think they keep this thing tight. And I'll take Oregon State in the 6.5 at home against USC.
I like that one. That one does a little something for me. Tell you the one I like the most this week, and as crazy as this may sound, I really, really, really like this game. And I don't know why. There's really nothing about it outside of the fact that I feel like the teams match up pretty well, and it'll be really interesting. I love Iowa State against Baylor this weekend. I don't know why. Just something about this game, and I really lean towards Iowa State. To me, I look at this game and see the 17 next to Baylor's name. They're on the road. I feel like Ames is a tough place to play, especially 11 o'clock in the morning. Baylor, to me, hasn't played in a couple weeks. Didn't look great the last time they were out. Lost to BYU. I kind of lean towards Iowa State in this game, and this will be actually the first time Iowa State has started 4-0 since 2000. So this will be the second time. They've only done it one other time. So this is rare air for Iowa State to potentially get to 4-0, and I think they can get it done this week by taking care of business. So I like Iowa State and lay the 3 at home against the ranked Baylor Bears, former Big 12 champions, at their house.
Damien, you got one you're marinating on for this weekend?
Absolutely, man. It's the most important, second most important game in the SEC, Texas A&M and Arkansas. I think the wrong team is favored. I think the wrong team is favored. I think Arkansas is going to go out there and handle business. I think they're going to do kind of what App State did to them, just at a pretty significant and more successful level.
I like Arkansas game. And just forget the points.
Take
it straight up. I like that one a lot. I also like the over 65.5 Tulsa Ole Miss.
Yeah, that seems.
I'll tell you another one I like. One. James Madison. Welcome to the FBS. Coming off of a game last week that needed a Hail Mary by App State to win it. And James Madison's getting 7? Give me James Madison +7. Make it tough.
Haven't played tough competition, but they're playing good football.
They're
this
rolling,
year.
Folks.
So. Games we're marinating on, brought to you by Dale's, the nation's number one marinade. You can find it in 44 states, over 12,000 grocery stores. That new steak sauce also available. Perfect addition to your favorite game day recipes. Anything you're marinating on, make it Dale's. Back with the coach, Wim Sanderson, next on Mac and Cube in the Morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.